The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Friday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. The Buck is back, at least vocally, Clay. Thank heavens. I appreciate everybody's patience with that earlier in this week. We have so much to talk to you all about. First off, the guests we have lined up for today. Our friend Ben Dominich, he is the publisher of The Federalist, a great website, honestly one of my favorite conservative opinion sites out there, and he has news to break on this show. A big court case came down that he's involved in, so we'll be talking to Ben about that and also politics. He's a very astute observer. I'm sure you've seen him on Bret Baier's panel during the 6 o'clock hour on Fox many times. And we've got, oh gosh, so much more. We also have Josh Hawley, who voted against the $40 billion for Ukraine and had quite, you know, Senator Hawley, of course, quite a throwdown with Granholm, the Secretary of Energy, on the price of gas. We'll discuss that. And then Jonathan Isaac of the Orlando Magic in the third hour about him standing for freedom and refusing to bend the knee. So that's all coming up. And then in terms of stories, a lot going on here. In the Womp Womp file, Clay, Bill de Blasio is running for Congress.
I wanted to ask you about this because is Bill de Blasio, like, he wanted to run for governor. He wanted to run for president. Didn't he run for president?
Yes,
he ran for president, right?
His superpower, Clay, is being completely unself-aware. At a superhuman level, he is unself-aware.
Is there anyone out there? Does he have any fan base? Like, I've never heard anybody be like, hey, you know who I really like? Bill de Blasio. I mean, anywhere, on any level of the political spectrum, it's really remarkable to be the mayor of New York City and have no twice and have no one actually like you. And to your point, to be so unself-aware, there's nobody clamoring for him to ever be involved in politics again. He has no fan base, it seems to me.
So we'll come back to Billy de Blasio in a little bit. Also known as Warren Wilhelm, which was his name until his 20s, by the way. He changed his name in his 20s, which I always think is such a little-known fact. Changed his name entirely. But first off, Elon Musk, everybody. I mean, Clay and I are both, look, what Elon's trying to do is so important, not just for our business, I think for the country. We've talked to you about why Twitter is so important for the media narrative. It is the closest thing to a town square that exists right now in the digital realm. And Elon said, Clay, he said, they're coming for me. I mean, he's been putting out tweets for weeks,
yep,
saying that there's going to be some hit job against him. And here you go from the Daily Mail. Elon Musk says he claims he paid $250,000 to silence SpaceX flight attendants. 2016 sexual harassment claims are from a far left activist slash actress with a political axe to grind to stop him from buying Twitter. He challenged openly the liar to describe his naked body on Twitter, which is quite a challenge. It's quite a gauntlet to throw down, so to speak. And you know what, my man? This is Blasey. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not buying it. Blasey Ford 2.0. It's so clearly timed. It's so desperate. And I think Elon's going to keep on pushing past this nonsense.
Okay, so let's break this down for just a moment. Elon Musk announces that he's going to vote Republican for the first time in his life. And within 24 hours, there is a story accusing him of sexual assault, that they're trying to say is sexual assault. So I read this story, and here's how I would break it down. I'm going to put my lawyer hat on for you. First of all, Buck, and not a lot of people noticed this, but the story is hearsay. The woman who allegedly is saying that she was mistreated is not the source of the story. It's a friend of the woman who is alleging that she was mistreated. So the person who is telling the story to this news outlet is not the actual woman who was even involved in this story. It's a level removed. Her comments may not even be admissible in a court of law because, again, it's hearsay. There are certain hearsay exceptions that we could run through. Okay, so let's start there. Two, the allegations in the story are not sexual assault. So even if you take them as truthful, this is not any way sexual assault. Three, the allegations are ridiculous. It sounds like a joke. Elon Musk said he would buy a woman a horse if she was interested in engaging in some sort of amorous activity with him. Now, I think this is just, like, I read that and I kind of spit out my drink when I was reading it because I don't know. I mean, we've got a lot of women who are listening to us right now, Buck. Has there ever been a time where a man has won your heart by offering to buy you a horse? I mean, it sounds like such a ridiculous joke to make, right? Like, and also, what kind of horse are we talking about? The story doesn't specify, but my first thought is there's a wide range of horses, right?
Yeah, it's like a pony and Arabian thoroughbred.
That's right. That's right. There's a big difference in the value of the horse, but I can't imagine there ever being any woman who I have ever met that they would be impressed if I offered to buy them a horse. It sounds like a joke, particularly because she used to ride horses. And then the payment here is $250,000, which to people out there who are maybe not involved in the legal process, $250,000 might sound like a lot. You cannot even combat a sexual harassment allegation without paying far in excess at a major corporation like this, or for a major individual like Elon Musk, far in excess of $250,000. So a lot of times people just say, hey, this is a rounding error.
So is this a nuisance payment?
That's exactly right. The amount of time that Elon Musk would have to spend on this, $250,000 to Elon Musk is like, Buck, you or me paying $20, right? Just to be, I mean, it's like going for coffee for him because of his wealth. And when you're paying, and you know this, but a lot of people out there don't realize it, every lawyer that Elon Musk ever pays is probably a $1,500 or more an hour lawyer,
yes,
for people out there. So, you know, if you have them work on a case for 20 or 30 hours, which I used to do sexual harassment investigations, it's almost impossible not to spend that amount of time on these cases at a minimum. This is a total nuisance case. And I would just say this. He's been a public figure, Elon Musk has, for 25 years now. It took him 24 hours of being a Republican for somebody to come out and accuse and be published him as being inappropriate when it comes to women.
It's just so obvious what's going on here. I mean, it's obvious, yes, because Elon said, hey, guys, you know what's going to be obvious? When they come at me with something, when someone dredges up something in order to stop me from purchasing Twitter, look at the fear. I've said this in the beginning, Clay. It's so illuminating just to watch how terrified the Democrat apparatus overall, politicians, media figures, news people, they're terrified at not having their hand on the scale of the digital public square. It sends them into a frenzy. Elon has never said there's going to be reprisals against the left. We're going to balance things out. We're going to take a look at the historical inequities of Twitter and decide that we're going to silence the other side. He's just said, look, we're not going to play games anymore and pretend that we're doing free speech when we're not. And they are in a frenzy over this.
That's right.
And I think you're going to see, even though it's obvious, they will go forward not only with this kind of an accusation. Federal regulators are thinking about how they can get involved. The Biden administration, I'm sure, has people at DOJ and looking at this as some kind of an antitrust possibility. I mean, there's all sorts of tricks they're going to try to pull, all to prevent the richest man on the planet. I mean, Jeff Bezos buys the Washington Post. Fantastic.
Journalism
is going to be done. Elon wants to buy Twitter, make it free speech. It is DEFCON 1 for these lunatics.
Yeah, and I think the one positive is everybody knows the game and how it's played now. So this accusation seems to have landed with just kind of a thud and nobody really cared, right? And I think because of obviously people who listen to this show know what Rush went through over the years with people coming after him on a personal level. But to your point,
and the government,
on Brett Kavanaugh
and the tax authorities, the IRS,
and everybody else. And we talked about the fact that when we took this show, at some point, I'm kind of stunned, Buck. I don't know about you, given the influence this show has and the audience that you guys tune in every single day. I expected in the first year that somebody would come after us, guns blazing. I mean, I talked to you about this once our names were announced that somebody was going to try to come after us and do hit pieces. So far, we're a year in and nobody's really come after us. But this is the game they play. This is the way that they try to destroy you if you don't sign up. I mean, think about this. Elon Musk has gone from a hero of the left to someone that they are trying to destroy based on simply believing in content neutral policies. That's all he's done. He hasn't said like, hey, I'm a far right ideologue. He's just saying, I want Twitter to treat everybody evenly, regardless of what their political opinions are. And this is such a rigged game at Twitter that they are terrified of just content neutral policies.
And I think there's another component of this that everyone should be aware of in the background. They're so terrified of free speech as a general principle now, as we know. The left no longer, there is no longer foundational agreement between Democrats and Republicans, between left and right, on free speech as a value, as a good, that we can agree on what it is. Because they'll say, oh, well, hate speech is not. And then you say, well, if I'm opposed to illegal immigration, is that hate speech? Yeah, it sounds like hate speech to me, right? They do not believe in, and there's, of course, much worse hate speech or actual hate speech that
but
is protected under the First
that
Amendment.
I should be able to say that men should compete against men and women could compete. That's hate speech.
They're completely insane. But in the background of this also, they say that the world is going to melt down because of climate change and it's an existential threat. That is their phrase. Obama has said it. Biden has said it. Elon Musk is doing more, in a sense, to combat climate change than any other individual. Not that I think climate change needs to be combated, but put that aside. He is doing more with Tesla.
It's impossible for any individual to have done more than
More than he is. And they will destroy him if they can to protect their speech advantage online. That's how much they care about this. Forget about the fact he's done more than any other human being on the planet for the issue that they say is existential to fight against that.
They will
ruin this guy's life and reputation so that they can run around pretending like they're more popular online and their ideas aren't insane. That's how they are.
It's 100% right. And that's why there are a lot of Elon Musks out there. I'm about 6 or 7 years ahead of where Elon Musk is in terms of my political evolution. But this is why every single day I get out of bed so excited to talk to this audience, because I see the results. I see there's going to be more people voting Republican in 2022 that have never voted Republican for. I really believe that before. I really believe this in most of our lives, because they are tired of the insanity that they are seeing, drumbeat of crazy every single day that Democrats are putting out there.
You see what they're doing to this Princeton professor too, by the way?
Yeah, I saw that.
This is another, we'll tell everybody about this one. Another example of It doesn't matter if you're right. It doesn't matter if you speak the truth and events bear out what you've said. The left will come for you. They will come after you. They will ruin you. They will destroy you. This is critical to their belief system, because otherwise, to your point, Clay, a lot of people are going to say, yeah, this is not making sense anymore. So they have to make examples. They're going to try to make an example out of Elon. They're going to try to make an example out of this professor.
They rule with fear.
Yeah.
They rule with fear.
We'll tell that story, and there's a whole lot more coming up, too. Friends, got to tell you about the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Tunnel to Towers broke ground on its Do Good Village in Lando Lakes, Florida. This community is just outside of Tampa, and it's the first of its kind. It's made up of 110 homes for the foundation's program recipients. This is for families who have lost a loved one in our war on terrorism or in the line of duty as a first responder. It's a special place where families know that their neighbors understand and care. It's a community where the children of our nation's fallen or severely injured heroes can grow and experience life together. The foundation's Do Good Village is going to help these families beyond measure. And it's all thanks to an extraordinary donation of many acres of land and your generosity. Help America's greatest heroes and their families heal together. Make the Do Good Village the first of many communities like it. With every mortgage-free home, the foundation makes good on its promise to do good and never forget the sacrifices our heroes have made for our country and our communities. Join us in donating $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carvin and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. We roll through the Friday edition of the program. Encourage you to go subscribe at Clay Travis, at Buck Sexton on Twitter. You can also find us on iTunes, Spotify, you name it. You can go make sure that you never miss a moment of the program. We're joined now by Ben Dominic, host of his own podcast by the same name. You can get his newsletter at thetransom.com. And Ben, I'll start off here. First of all, I think this is the first time we've had you on. You also do a lot of great work with Fox News, so thanks for making the time for us. But I believe you have actual breaking news surrounding a ridiculous situation that arose when you were at the Federalist, which is another fantastic website out there, and what you said and what happened. Kind of fill in our audience, because we teased that a little bit earlier in the program.
Hey, it's fantastic to be on with you, and congratulations on all your success. Look, as it turns out, today is a fortuitous day to be talking to you, because a decision has come down from the Third Circuit Court of Appeals that has been a long time coming. Several years ago, in response to a unionization effort at a leftist publication known as Vox, I put out a joke tweet that said, to the folks at the Federalist, I said, "Hey, Hey, the first one of you two who tries to unionize, I'll send you back to the salt mines. Now, I thought of this as being a fairly mediocre joke, but, you know, it was just one of those shouted out things. It turns out that a couple of leftist trolls used this tweet to start a federal case against me using the National Labor Relations Board, which is the people who target folks who are trying to do anti-union activities or things like that. A whole mess of faceless bureaucrats who came after me over the course of several years. And thanks to a group called the NCLA, the New Civil Liberties Alliance, this group of lawyers basically came to me and said, you know, hey, we'd be happy to defend you because we believe in free speech. We believe in the ability of people to tell a joke, and we don't think that random people on the internet should be able to make a federal case out of it. And today we won. We won unanimously at the Third Circuit. They dismissed, you know, basically every argument that the NLRB and their bureaucrats had put forward. And I got official legal information from the Third Circuit that my humor is both bizarre and comical officially, and no one could possibly interpret it as anything other than a joke if they were reasonable. So a big vindication for people who want to send out joke tweets, and a big loss for those who want to weaponize bureaucrats to go after you for just expressing your sense of humor.
Hey, Ben, it's Buck. I just want to be clear on this. Was the position of these NLRB folks and these trolls that came after you that it wasn't a joke? I mean, or is it was yeah. it that jokes are not allowed when there's labor at stake?
It was essentially both of those things, both that my thing was not a joke, that a reasonable person would construe it as an actual threat against unionization.
Where are your salt mines, Ben? Ridiculous. I'm just wondering.
Well, this is the thing. What I really thought is that I'm missing out on a business plan now. Yeah. You know, I really needed to start investing in salt mining as a new pursuit. But at the end of the day, you know, the fact is that they basically said when it comes to unionization or when it comes to unions generally, you can't tell any jokes. You can't say these types of things, which is, of course, ridiculous. I mean, and the thing that really, you know, made me angry and was the reason that I took the stand on this. And we've seen, you know, I mean, other places, you know, Dave Portnoy, for instance, over at Barstool had a similar incident to this where he ultimately settled and, you know, deleted the tweets and stuff like that. And the reason is that these bureaucrats come after you and they basically say, we are just going to bankrupt you. And, you know, there were seven lawyers on the sides of the NLRB who all signed this onto this case that, you know, really could have done damage to me and would have really been very costly. And that's the way that they pursue these things. It's not even that they want to get to a court and have to win an argument there. They just want the threat to force you to abide by their will. And so that's why I felt it was important to stand up. And thankfully now we've been vindicated unanimously. And I have to say, I honestly hope that they appeal. I hope that they appeal to the Supreme Court just so that I can have that level of vindication that, yes, you can tell a joke on Twitter, even about things like unionization.
Ben, the stock market has now gone negative under Joe Biden. We've got 40-year high inflation. We've got murder rates skyrocketing all over the country. The border is a sieve as Title 42 is about to be repealed. We all knew that Joe Biden was probably going to be an ineffectual and poor leader. Did you ever think it would get this bad this quickly? And what are we in store for over the next couple of years with this guy's presidency continuing?
This is going to be so much worse than even I thought it could be. And it has gotten so much worse than I thought it could get so much faster. And I think a big part of that has to do with the fact, Clay, that we are dealing with, you know, not just the Obama team, but kind of the C and D level staffers from the Obama team, you know, the people who were in these lower ranked positions who've now all come back and are now in key roles in the government. And what that, you know, has ended up with is a situation where these people are just out of their depth. Their policies are incoherent. They're beholden to the left on their flank. Otherwise, they'd be considering, you know, all the kind of things that we were really promised from this administration by a media that, you know, lied to get Joe Biden and Kamala Harris elected. You know, they said that they would represent a return to normalcy, that they would take down the temperature of the culture war, that they would stabilize things. it turns out that that was really just total spin. It was a lie. And instead, they've ramped up the culture war. They've made things even more divisive. They've and they frankly have engaged in incoherence when it comes to their policy priorities. Look at just the single issue of the pain at the pump. You look at, you know, Joe Manchin flabbergasted, you know, that the Democratic Party seems to have the position officially now that it's good to have expensive gas. And that's something that, you know, frankly, a lot of us knew that the people on the Obama team believed in. Obama himself even gave indications of that at various points. But we never really thought that they would go down the road so far that they wouldn't be willing to compromise in any respect when people are just paying out the nose for any kind of you know, summer vacation travel and things like that in the coming months. They're going to be thinking of the Democratic Party, and all they've got is leaning into the idea that, oh, well, it's Republicans who are crazy. It's Republicans who are racist. At the same time that the latest Quinnipiac poll shows Joe Biden just cratering among Hispanic voters. You know, the lowest ratings that we've seen for Democrat presidents ever in terms of some of the historical comparisons.
Ben, can I ask you something before let you go? Because everything you said, first of all, I've known Ben for 10 years. He's a very astute, isn't that amazing, Ben? It's been 10 years, buddy. A very astute political observer. And are Republicans positioning themselves, is the messaging and just is your general sense that the momentum is building here for the red wave wipeout? That it's not even just something that Clay and I want. It's necessary for the country to sort of restore balance to the force, if you will. Do you think they're in the right place? Are you seeing what you need to see, or do we need a kick in the pants on our side?
The thing that I think Republicans can't afford to do at this juncture is just to assume that if there's an R after a name, they're going to win. They need to deserve the victory. And I think that that requires them to really lay out what they're going to do if they get back in power. And frankly, people like Mitch McConnell would really like to just sit back on their laurels and be fine with sort of, we'll be in charge of committees now. Oh, great. Well, what are you going to actually do when it comes to changing the border policy? Are you willing to go to the mattresses and, you know, hold on to those purse strings, and not let taxpayer dollars flow into various programs and things that Joe Biden wants in order to get a change in policy? Are you willing to go after Alejandro Mayorkas and actually impeach him possibly over the things that he's done and the lies that he's told? Look, I think that Republicans need to lean into this agenda. I don't think they can sit back and just let it come to them. I think that would be a mistake. They need to tell the country what they will do if they get back the reins of power in Washington.
For more of Ben's analysis, go subscribe to his newsletter at thetransom.com. Mr. Ben Domenech, always great to have you, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
Great to be with you both.
Look, do you ever wish you had more energy and focus throughout the day? Do you find yourself dragging after lunch? If that's a double yes, I want to tell you about Chalk. It's spelled C-H-O-Q. They make natural supplements that enhance your life, and sustained energy and focus are right up there at the very top of the benefits. Chalk also provides a solution to a little-known problem men are having, low testosterone levels. Do you know the average man today has half the testosterone of the average man 50 years ago? Top ingredient in one of Chalk's products, Chalk Daily, is clinically proven to increase total testosterone by 20% over 90 days. Chalk supplements work because of their high potency and purity. All supplements are lab tested twice for purity by a third party. The Patriots at Chalk have combined powerful, natural, and clinically studied herbal extracts to produce game-changing effects on energy, focus, mood, and testosterone levels. Chalk is a Texas-based company with U.S. manufacturing, founded and operated by seventh-generation Texans. Chalk's Male Vitality Stack contains three natural supplements for the ultimate daily boost for American men. Visit Chalk.com. That's C-H-O-Q.com. And use the code word Buck, my name, Buck, for 30% off site-wide right now to get the Male Vitality Stack. That website again is C-H-O-Q.com. Make sure you use that promo code Buck for 30% off. Welcome back in, everybody, to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We're joined now by Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri. Senator, good of you to stop by again.
Thanks for having me. Great to be with you.
So much to ask you about. We played a bit of your exchange with Energy Secretary Granholm before, and it seems like her talking points run right in line with what we hear from all Biden top officials these days, which is some version of it's not our fault, it's Putin's fault, and the Republicans are evil. Why have the Democrats, I mean, explain to everybody listening, because I think you laid this out very well, why have Biden policies really affected the price of energy and affected it not just for what you see right now, but in a way that could drive it up even going forward?
Yeah, if you enjoy paying $4 and $5 a gallon of gasoline, then congratulations, it's going to get a lot worse because AAA was telling us just yesterday it could be $6 by August. And if you like that, then vote for Joe Biden and vote for Democrats in November because they're responsible. And here's why. When Biden came into office, the first thing he did was to cancel oil and gas drilling leases. It was to impose new regulations on American energy. It was to cancel the Keystone Pipeline, to rejoin the Paris Climate Accords. He did all of that with the stroke of a pen. And then he wondered why gas prices started going up. You know, in Missouri, when he took office in Missouri, our average price of gas was about $2. By August of his first year, August of last year, it had gone up over 30%. And now Missouri, the average in our state is about 413 statewide, and that's actually a little bit below the national average. So that is because of Joe Biden and his policies, and he just won't take any responsibility.
Senator, appreciate you coming on with us. This news has only broken in the last hour or so, but you're pretty familiar with the Russia collusion hoax. Hillary Clinton's campaign manager just testified under oath there in D.C. that Hillary okayed the release to the media, the leak to the media, of this fake Russia collusion narrative that we've been talking about now for years. How significant do you think it is to finally have a campaign manager under oath in part of this trial directly implicate Hillary Clinton with beginning the Russia collusion lies?
Very big deal. Very, very big deal. And also because I think part of his testimony, Clay, was that they didn't think it was necessarily true.
That's right.
They weren't sure about it, you know. So this was basically, oh, let's go ahead and get it out there anyway. It may be false. Of course, as we now know, it was all made up. And she was paying lawyers who lied to the FBI, who tried to leverage the FBI against Trump and succeeded. I mean, it's got to be the only time in American history that a presidential campaign has been able to use the FBI against another candidate and succeed at it. I mean, it's extraordinary to have Hillary now at the center of this, really, this conspiracy is really, really something. So I think we're going to hear a lot more from the special prosecutor, and certainly we need to learn a lot more. I'd like to know who else in her campaign knew about it. I mean, obviously, she had a running mate. She had lots of other officials. Jake Sullivan, who's now the national security advisor to Joe Biden, he was involved in this. What did he know? I mean, I think we need to find out.
Speaking to Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri right now, and Senator, I asked you before about the energy price situation, which obviously anybody who's filled up a gas tank recently is all too familiar with, but we've also been talking a lot about the baby formula shortage on shelves across America. CBS News just reported in the last 24 hours that in 43 states, more than 40% of baby formula is out of stock. It seems that the more we dig into this, the more there is an understanding that the Biden administration was slow to act on this, but also the federal regulators have made this situation worse. What can you tell us about where the responsibility lies here? As you got a lot of anxious parents that are listening.
Yeah, you know, in Missouri, it's really, really bad. We're over 50% out of stock in Missouri, one of the five hardest hit states. So you better believe that this is a problem, and you better believe that we need answers. And I tell you what, the FDA, Biden's FDA, shut down biggest lab that produced baby formula in this country back in February and kept it shut down for months. And we still don't know exactly why. We know that there were health and safety inspection issues. You know, that's fine. But what did the FDA do to get those addressed and to get this plant back online? Apparently nothing. And so far we're getting nothing from the FDA in terms of answers. So we need to find out, what was the FDA doing? I mean, what were they doing in February when they shut it down? Why didn't they get it fixed? What took them so long to get it back up and running? And what was the Biden administration doing this whole time? It looks like the answer is what they usually do, sit around. They're not doing anything that helps Americans. They're busy trying to police speech and trying to punish their political opponents, but they're not doing anything that would actually help working people in this country. And, you know, that's something else he's going to have to answer for. But we need answers on this ASAP.
Senator, the stock market's now gone negative. Lots of people's 401ks down since Joe Biden took office. We've got a disaster at the southern border. We've got murder rates skyrocketing all over the country. We've got inflation at 40-year highs. Basically, war in Europe. Everything that Joe Biden has touched in the 17 months that he has been in office has gotten worse. We knew it was going to be bad. Did you ever believe it could be this bad? I mean, Buck, just to ask you about the baby formula shortage. Would you have ever believed, if you had said, Senator, think about this, if you'd come out and said, hey, you know, I'm really nervous about what the Biden administration is going to be like. I'm afraid that moms and dads are not going to be able to find baby formula because he's going to be so incompetent. You would have gotten absolutely castigated and destroyed for making that statement. Yet here we are. Where do we go from here? Can you guys in the Senate hold the line? Can we stop Joe Biden from passing any more bills? Because, Senator, as you know, if he had gotten his Build Back Better bill through, we'd be in double-digit inflation right now. Not only has Biden made things worse, he's been protected from making them even worse. I'm incredibly frustrated about where we are.
No, I mean, I am with you 100%. And we've got to turn the direction of the country around. And I can tell you, we'll have a chance to start doing that come November. If we can get a majority in the Senate, I believe we can, a majority in the House. And we've got to get Republicans who are going to be tough. I mean, that's the thing. You know, we've got to get Republicans who are willing to stand up and to be tough and to say, listen, we're not going to go along to get along. We're going to say no to this radical agenda. You know, how about stagflation, just to throw something else on the list there? But, I mean, who would have thought in our lifetimes that we would see Jimmy Carter-style stagflation back? And now you've got, you know, the Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen saying that we could see that in the next year. I mean, it is unbelievable. But we've got to change direction. There's no doubt about it. And Republicans have got to lead the way. And we can start by saying no more of this socialist spending. Let's get American energy production open back up. And let's stop the nation building abroad, by the way, too. And let's look to America's critical interests and secure our border.
I wanted to ask you about that, Senator Hawley. You voted against the $40 billion package to Ukraine. This obviously is at a time when we have the high price of gas. We got the baby formula shortage. You got a stock market that's really going in the wrong direction for people's 401ks and pensions, etc. Sending $40 billion to Ukraine feels like a pretty big check to just put out there. You voted against it. Why?
Because it's really nation building and not national security. And that's what really gets me about this thing. I mean, listen, Ukraine's entire national budget a year or two ago was $40 billion. I mean, this bill includes direct money, billions and billions of dollars in direct cash to Ukraine's government. So now we're literally just writing them checks, basically turning them into a client state. We tried that in Iraq and Afghanistan, and as I recall, it didn't end too well. So my view is this, is that we ought to be pursuing America's national interest. I'm all for giving targeted military assistance to the Ukrainians, help them defend themselves. Sure, you bet. But nation building? Direct checks to their government? No. I mean, no, no, no. I think it's a huge mistake. I think we will regret it later. I regret it now. And I think in terms of when you look at our pressing priorities at home, the southern border, we could build a wall on the border twice over for $40 billion. We could give our own servicemen and women a raise that keeps pace with inflation for $40 billion. And we haven't even talked about China, which is our long-term, heck, short-term, our biggest foreign policy challenge is China. It's actually not Russia. So there's all kinds of problems with $40 billion to Ukraine. And I'm worried, guys, it's just the beginning. The administration says this isn't done. They want to come back for more. They want there to be a reconstruction of the country, Marshall Plan style, which the United States, they want to lead. So I think we're at the beginning of this thing, and I think it's the wrong direction.
Senator, you wrote a book on big tech and the power that all of these massive corporations have established for themselves. Right now, Elon Musk is trying to buy Twitter, and there's obviously been a lot of twists and turns in that potential acquisition. But one of the things he's investigating is the idea that bots represent a much more substantial percentage of the overall Twitter landscape than was acknowledged by Twitter. You've also got dirty, it appears, attacks now coming out against him in the wake of him saying that he's going to vote Republican because of the direction of the Democrat Party, the FCC, the FTC. It seems like the Biden administration is trying to put as many roadblocks as they can in the front of his potential acquisition. What do you think of this potential acquisition? What can and should the Senate's role be in potentially helping or at least keeping the process fair for Elon Musk going forward when it appears the Biden administration is trying to put as many different obstacles in front of him as possible?
I'm all for the acquisition. I hope that Musk will do what he says he wants to do at Twitter, which is to make it a free speech platform. I mean, what a concept to have a social media platform that it would actually be for speech, as opposed to being a propaganda platform for the left, which is, of course, what it has been and what they want, which is why you see all these lefty influencers and media types just melting down at the idea that you might have a pro-free speech individual helming the company. I mean, how about that? So I wouldn't be surprised at anything the left tries to do, including the Biden administration. Can I just say, when Joe Biden was vice president, the Barack Obama government allowed Google to acquire all kinds of smaller companies to engage in all kinds of what I think is basically antitrust activity, and they did nothing about it. They signed off on it. So it would be the ultimate irony for Biden and his people now to come in and say, oh, we can't allow Elon Musk to buy Twitter. But I would say nothing is impossible. The left is hell-bent on keeping control of all of these platforms and hell-bent on trying to shut down free speech in this country. And I see this Twitter fight with Musk as part of that.
Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri. Senator, great to have you as always. Thanks for coming by.
Hey, thanks so much, guys.
Folks, people living with pain every day are held back from living a full life. Finding a solution can occupy your every moment, but there is a solution. Created by doctors and perfected over 15 years of scientific research, Relief Factor was made for these circumstances. With four key ingredients, Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free product which addresses joint pain. Hundreds of thousands of people have ordered Relief Factor, and nearly 70% of them go on to order more. If you're currently in pain and have about a 7 in 10 chance to eliminate it, those are pretty good odds. Michelle, for example, she's 55 years old, lives and works lives and works in Arizona doing house cleaning. Recently, she purchased Relief Factor for her husband, but decided to try it also. Michelle reports she felt relief almost immediately, and so did her husband. Join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or you can call this number, 800-4-RELIEF. To get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed for you, go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Move more, live more, and just enjoy your life more with Relief Factor.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion, Lady A, Riley Green, Ashley McBride, Brothers Osborne, Walker Hayes, all hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center, Saturday, May 4th, stream only on Hulu, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Just want to make sure you know, at clayandbuck.com, we have transcripts of the show. You can also listen to the podcast of the show there. And we have a full explanation up of the change in theme music. If you want to hear our full explanation, you can go to clayandbuck.com, because I know some people will be tuning in. They'll be hearing something different. They'll want to know what's going on here. We've explained it, laid it out at clayandbuck.com. So that way everybody can know we're all on the same page and know exactly what's going on here. I'm looking forward to speaking to Jonathan Isaac here shortly, NBA star Jonathan Isaac. And then I also have some fascinating movie trivia to run by Clay later on in the show, which we tend to
close out the week.
Yeah, close out the week with it. I also hear that the Maverick Top Gun movie is being very well received, which I'm excited about.
I can't wait to watch it.
I'm a once a year, because I'm Clay. I have some deficiencies. Like, I have some things where my fuse is maybe a little more short than it should be. People who talk in movie theaters make me want to throw popcorn at the wall. I'll just
so
say
you
that.
Don't even go to movie theaters. Like, you hate going.
I basically will go to the movies once a year, and I try to go at a time when there won't be that many. The problem, though, when you go and there's not that many people, is sometimes when there's only a handful of people in the theater, they think they're in their living room. So they're actually more likely to talk than when it's a packed theater. So I don't really know which. And people with their cell phones, I would take the job of walking around. Everybody should get a warning. And then I would pour out a bucket of popcorn on those who use their cell phones out for everyone to see during a movie. But obviously, I'm pretty intense about this.
I love it. I take the boys to tons of movies, but I can't wait to go see the new Top Gun. And it debuted at Cannes, and Tom Cruise got a 5-minute standing ovation.
We've got Jonathan Isaac with us now. He's got a new book out, Why I Stand. And here's what we want you to know. On July 31st, 2020, the Orlando Magic starting forward Jonathan Isaac was the lone NBA player not to kneel for the national anthem amid a league-wide demonstration in support of Black Lives Matter. Standing alone, knowing the scrutiny to come, Jonathan had a peace that he at one time never could have imagined possible. In Why I Stand, Jonathan shares the journey of how, through a series of divine connections and a willingness to follow Christ, his fear and insecurity-driven life was transformed into one of pure confidence and purpose. Jonathan Isaac with us now. Jonathan, thanks so much.
Fellas, thank you so much for having me.
Please start, if you would, Jonathan, with that decision, that momentous decision at a time when there was so much pressure on so many people to take a knee during the national anthem. Tell us about your decision process there, what that was like.
Well, what I tried my best to do at the time, and obviously seeing that what happened to George Floyd was tragic and awful and wrong, what I tried my best to do was take a step back and say, what is the right way for me to respond in this moment that would bring change? And looking out and seeing, you know, there was a lot of pressure on NBA players to have to kneel for the national anthem and wear their Black Lives Matter t-shirt. But just knowing from my life experiences, I knew that that wasn't going to be the answer. And I couldn't think of a better message or antidote for the times that we see other than the gospel. And so I decided that that was the right message that needed to be spreaded about love and loving your enemy and loving your neighbor and loving the way God loves us, which is past our failures, past our faults. And I've experienced that love in my own life. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to go with anybody's narrative. I'm not going to go with the pressure. I'm going to stand up and share what I feel to be the answer for the world.
How much pressure do you think, you kind of hinted at it, guys felt, even if they didn't necessarily agree with it, they didn't want to take the attention that you were willing to for making a different choice? How many guys do you think just went along because they didn't want the pressure of not going along on their shoulders?
A ton. And honestly, it just speaks to how polarizing the moment was. And it shouldn't be like that. You know, we should be free to make decisions based on how we feel. But because of just how the societal pressure at the moment, I'm sure there were plenty of guys who said, you know what, you know, this is just something that I'm going to do. And I've honestly had conversations after the fact with different, you know, players in different sports. And, you know, I had a conversation with a soccer player after I stood, and he said, you know what, I agree with you and your stance, but I'm afraid to stand. And this was a white guy, so might have been a little bit harder for him. But I was able to talk to him and kind of let him know the same thing that, you know, my pastor told me before I stood, which was, you cannot stand for God and God not stand for you. And so the times were crazy. There was a lot of pressure, but, you know, I decided to do it anyway.
Jonathan, I'm wondering if you think that there's a greater awareness among some of your fellow players in the NBA that the divisiveness, the politicization that has really been a much bigger part of the sport than, I mean, certainly I grew up being a huge New York Knicks fan, going to Knicks games all the time. And in recent years, a lot of us see the NBA and we say there's just so much politics involved. Do some of the players recognize that this is maybe a distraction from the really what should be the purpose of the game, and that it's inclusive for everybody and that it's meant to bring people together and inspire them? Or are we still a long way from having that recognition more widespread among players?
I would say that we're still a long way from having that recognition, like, overall. I'm sure that, you know, some players recognize that. I recognize that in the sense of it should be about an individual and an individual deciding what's best for him or a decision to make. And I think COVID and the vaccine really brought that to life, that it's really about, you know, groupthink and going along with what everybody, you know, what's the mainstream position on a situation. And so it's unfortunate, but, you know, hopefully we can kind of get to that place of you're talking about, of just playing basketball and it being about, you know, you being free to stand up for what it is that you believe in.
Jonathan, why do you think you had also not only the bravery to refuse to do what everybody else was doing during the anthem, but also, as you just mentioned, you didn't get the COVID shot? And it has been proven since, and I bet you hear from a lot of athletes about this, because I know I do, that, you know, you get the COVID shot, it doesn't stop you from getting or spreading COVID, and it doesn't last very long. And guys like you and other athletes who are in absolute peak physical condition have zero risk, really, from COVID at all. When you made that initial decision not to get the shot, you got criticized heavily, I'm sure, like a lot of other athletes did. But how many guys have come back to you since and said, hey, man, you know what? You were right. I wish I also had not gotten this COVID shot.
There's been plenty of guys who shared that sentiment, and even more so that said, you know what? If this thing happens again, I won't be so easily, you know, convinced, or I won't so easily go along with the narrative. But I would say definitely standing in the bubble made it easier for me to just kind of go with what I felt about, you know, COVID and the vaccine and all that stuff. And what I do love about the book is it takes you through the journey of me getting to the place to even be willing to stand, because I wasn't that person. I grew up and I really struggled with anxiety and fear and self insecurity. And it's only through developing a relationship with Christ where I've come to the point to say, you know what, I know this is true through experience, and I'm going to be willing to stand up and say it. And so when everything started to break with COVID, I pretty much just said, I'm going to take a step back and look and just watch. And there was so much pressure with it being, you know, kind of forced on everyone's throats. And it was made to seem like it was a moral decision, that if you took the shot, you were this good person, and if you didn't, you were evil. But again, like you said, I was in the best shape of my life. I already had COVID, so I had a level of natural immunity, something that was not being talked about much at all. I saw people's religious and medical exemptions being denied, and I really just wanted to stand with those people and, you know, lend them a voice.
We're speaking to Jonathan Isaac. He's got a new book out, Why I Stand. And Jonathan, on that point about COVID and the vaccines and the pressure to get them, the mandate, really, professionally for a lot of people to get them, you weren't alone on that one. You also had fellow NBA star Kyrie Irving refusing to get the shot. Have you sensed a change in perception among a lot of the players about how necessary the vaccine was? I mean, I'm just, you know, I've got a different version of the question I asked you before. Are people within the league seeing things differently now as we spend more time being told, oh, it's time to get the fourth shot, maybe the fifth shot?
Well, I think not even just in the league, but in the entire country and world for that matter, I think people are kind of starting to see through the weeds and just relax a bit and kind of get back to just living their lives. But again, it was such a polarizing time, and, you know, the death toll that everyone was toting around and you know, as terrible as that is. But I think people are just starting to breathe a little bit and see, you know what, you know, the vaccine, you're still getting COVID. People are still passing it on, whether you have it or not. But the overall survival rate of COVID is 99.97%. So I think just people are starting to breathe, and I think that we'll be, you know, better moving forward.
Jonathan, we appreciate the time. We appreciate your bravery, being willing to stand as an individual for what you believe. Encourage everybody out there to check it out. The book is Why I Stand. He's Jonathan Isaac, Orlando Magic forward. And congratulations, man. Was this one of your goals, by the way, to write a book one day? It has to be a really cool experience to see a book coming out with your name on it.
Yeah, absolutely not. And so the book, you know, also takes you through the journey of how the book came to be. was definitely not something that I thought I would, you know, ever, you know, be an author. And just to see people have it in their hands, people saying that they're inspired, encouraged by the story, not just the stand. So the book isn't just about standing in the bubble. It's really about my journey and how I got to that place in the first place and how a relationship with Christ helped me get there. And so I would just encourage people to get it. But again, to see people excited about it, going on Amazon and buying it, it makes me, you know, feel special.
Congratulations, my man. Hope you have a great off season.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is Jonathan Isaac. I want to tell you right now, hey, it's Friday. Maybe you got a dinner date. Maybe you got kids. You're going to the Little League field. Hey, that's me. Maybe you got a lot of activities still planned to roll into the weekend, and there might be a lot of you right now who need a little bit of a coffee break. And if you're going to do that, our friends at Black Rifle Coffee will hook you up. Man, this is a coffee Buck and I both drink, and we've been doing it for a while now. I love the black cold brew mocha right in a can. All I got to do is pop a top, and boom, I'm on the way to getting a little bit of a jolt of energy to help me chase around those young boys that I have, my 14, 11, and 7-year-olds. They got a lot of energy. You got kids, you got grandkids. Might need to be doing the same yourself. And Black Rifle Coffee is great because, man, they believe in the values that you believe in. And they donate so much out there to first responders, to military veterans. They are doing an absolutely phenomenal job helping to take care of so many people out there, keeping us safe. You can join me right now in enjoying Black Rifle Coffee. Start online at blackriflecoffee.com. Use our names in the purchase price, that's Clay and Buck, for 20% off. That's blackriflecoffee.com. If you haven't made choices before, you can go through the coffee club and they'll help you select coffee that's perfect for you. Use that code Clay and Buck and you will be well on your way to getting hooked up with a little bit more energy and a little bit more fun. It's Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion, Lady A, Riley Green, Ashley McBride, Brothers Osborne, Walker Hayes, all hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center, Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.